This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of May of the year 2003. This happens to be February of the year 2024 that it is being put on audio. So that's almost 21 years ago that this message was published. And as I do with all of these older messages, is that I give you these dates because sometimes in the messages I'm reading through it, I might mention something that was relevant back at that time about some person, place, thing, or event that was relevant back then that may or may not be relevant today. However, as I always say, when it comes to the Word of God, it is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the Lord tarries 6,000 years from now, His Word is still going to be relevant. And those that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and adjust your lives accordingly to it. Now, our subject scripture today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16, and verse number 13. And as I said, this is for the month of May of the year 2003. And if you have that scripture, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking, and He says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." The title for this message is A Matter of Interpretation. A Matter of Interpretation. Have you ever been in a conversation or debate with someone, especially when it concerns matters of biblical truth? And have you heard, or maybe you were the one that uttered this profound statement? Well, that's your interpretation. As for me, I have heard it many times, and I have read it in correspondence, and there always seems to be the question of, am I right? Or maybe you begin to feel like maybe you should just be quiet because you don't know as much as you think you do. There is a whole big fault line, not only in our dealings with the world, but also in the church, where many disagreements arise and people will ultimately blurt out, "That's your interpretation." Well, I would like to address this on a level that speaks directly to you, Y-O-U, the person reading or listening to this message. If you are the one that has been confronted by someone in a discussion of your faith, then you have to know this. will always be put on the defensive by those that don't want to see it the way that you do, if it means they have to admit that they are wrong and have been all along and that they need to change. They don't like that. A change a lot of times hurts, but it is good. It's a good thing if the change is for the better. If you are saved, you no doubt were put into a position of having to admit something you didn't want to admit, and that was that you, despite all of the good that you may have done, the clean life, going to church once in a while or every Sunday, you were still just as wicked as those that turned your nose up at out there in the world. You just like them. You know the ones I'm talking about: the prostitute, the homosexual, the drunkard, the crackhead, and the rest. For you, you might have had to come to grips with the truth that in God's eyes, you were no better than them. And that was a hard piece of reality. And you may have said to yourself, I'm doing all of this and yet God is not pleased with me. Now you probably got the feeling like whoever it was that was making you feel like this didn't know what they were talking about, and maybe they were misinterpreting the scriptures, and maybe they had an ulterior motive. Here we hear that a lot of times. Somebody want to find something wrong with you or claim that you aren't doing something the way that you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes it's because they have a particular motive or agenda to try to, which basically means try to get you to not pursue what God says you need to pursue in order to get into heaven. And if you're going to pursue it, then don't be around them because they don't like what you're doing and you're making them feel guilty. So they'll try to tell you, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. I'm adding this in there. So this is not part of what's on the track. But, you know, that's the way people do. Now, anyway, back to the message. Whatever the case, you may have said the same thing either in your mind or verbally. In either case, you may have been there. After facing the fact that you need to change in your life, you set out to get yourself together. You may have started asking questions of the one that you were so sure was wrong, or you asked someone else. You may have picked up the Bible more and attended more Bible studies. And as time went on, you began to see that that person that you didn't want to admit was right. Now you are saved and going out into the world to witness to those that you at one time turned your nose up at. And what do they say to you? That's your interpretation, or that's what you believe. Now think back. Isn't this a mirror reflection of yourself? Of course it is. And just as you were wrong in thinking the person you were upset with was wrong, So too is this person that you are dealing with wrong about you. You see, the job of the enemy is to keep as many people from getting saved as he can. And he will use every means possible to do it. One of his most effective is to get those that are saved and witnessing for the Lord to not be able to stand up to criticism. And he has a whole lot of tools and tricks up his sleeve to accomplish this. And doubt is a major factor. Now, what does the enemy use to put doubt in the mind of a person witnessing for Christ? He uses different translations of the Bible. He uses the differences in language. He uses numbers, as in all of these people can't be wrong. It has to be you that is wrong. In other words, all these hundreds of people believe one thing and you out here trying to tell them something else. You think you look at the numbers, you got to be wrong. He also uses embarrassment by making you look foolish. Whatever the case, remember, you were in that same boat at one time. In other words, you were the one doing the criticizing. I know I was. I mean, this brother tried to witness to me. He was a foreman on my job. My girlfriend, when we got together, neither one of us were saved. And then she got saved. And I started going to church and reading her Bible. But me, I'm still, you know, running the streets and doing my own thing. And she's starting to try to witness to me and things and tell me what I was doing wrong and this, that, and other. And I wasn't having it. And I was arguing back and forth with her. I was arguing. She wasn't arguing with me, but she was trying to explain to me. I didn't want to hear it. This is something I'm adding in here. And so as the time went on, I said, well, the only way I'm going to be able to argue at her on her level is I'm going to have to pick up the Bible and read it for myself. Well, guess what? I picked up the Bible and started reading for myself, and then I began to see that everything she was telling me about myself was true. So, like I say, I've been on that side of the fence too. So if you're in that particular predicament, you got somebody to tell you that they've gone through the same thing. And I would dare say practically anybody, if they'll be honest, that is saved, has at one time had doubts or questioned people, or just outright rejected what people were saying and trying to pass it off as they didn't know what they were talking about, or that was their interpretation of the scriptures. But now that they've read the scriptures and got, you know, got saved and read the scriptures, they found out that the person was right all along. Well, that's the same thing with me. Now, if you are the one that was saying this to a person that is witnessing to you, think about this. This person, as I was just saying, used to be just like you. They have been confronted by someone that had their best interests at heart. They had to fight with the fact that they maybe didn't know it all. They had to fight with the fact that if this person was right, they would either have to change their way of thinking and living or face the consequences. Talking about you saved and you going out here witnessing for the Lord, and you are in the position where you are doing everything that God says you're doing, should be doing, and you are right on and telling the people what you're telling them, but they begin to throw questions at you and make statements to you to get you to doubt what you're saying, which really what they want to do is get you to shut up. Now I'm commenting again. You find that I do a lot of commenting while I'm reading parts of this scripture just to give you a heads up on what I'm talking about. Anyways, these people have walked in your shoes and have come to the fact that they didn't know it all, and now they can see how foolish they were. Let me tell you something. Deception is all around us. Things that appear to be real and the truth can easily be deception. It all depends on the source. Is the source reliable, or is it something that is subject to change depending on the situation at the time, or over a period of time? Most of what we accept as the truth and reality have come about because men have come together with a meeting of the minds, if you will, and said, "We don't like this the way it is, so let's change it." Men became the source of their own truths. Example, the family. In the beginning, God created one man and one woman and told them to be fruitful and multiply. This was the beginning of the family. The man as the head and the woman as the helper. The man as the father and the woman as the mother. It was divinely established from the beginning and blessed by Him. Talking about God. This is God's plan for a family, and He hasn't changed His plans. Today, we look at the family, and what do we see? We see single mothers raising their children, child or children, either because the father has deserted them, or the woman has put the father out because she doesn't need him, or we see a mother that is a child herself trying to raise her child or children. We also see cases where two women or two men are seeking a way to get children and calling themselves a family. Over the past decade, laws have been passed that in man's eyes have legitimized these distortions of the family, and in some instances have punished those that hold to God's design of the family and speak out against those that defile it. When it comes to gays, when I was a child in the early 50s, the word gay carried the meaning of a person that was overly happy, joyful, and carefree. It also carried the connotation of bright colors that brought about happy feelings in those that were exposed to them. Today, that word has taken on a more dark meaning. It was co-opted by those that wanted to use it as their own label. Two men committing abominable acts, or two women in like manner calling themselves gay, and in some instances, a family. Then we have abortion, another abomination that in the eyes of God is the same as slapping God in the face. Why do I say this? Because children are his reward and heritage given to mankind. God commanded the man and the woman to be fruitful and multiply. God says that before we were in our mother's womb, he knew us. He also says that he had a specific job or calling for us to accomplish after we were born. Man has, in all his wisdom, chosen to make himself God in deciding which child should live or die. Women flock to abortion clinics to get rid of something that they call a nuisance, something that will ruin their lifestyle. They aren't ready for a child yet. Maybe they cheated on their impotent husband and a pregnancy would reveal their sin. Whatever the case, man has once again passed laws calling this action perfectly legal. Absolutes. What is an absolute? It is something that has always been and will always remain the same. No matter what occurs, you can always find that there are some things in which you can be sure of. Gravity pulls us down. Fire burns. The result of splitting an atom, 1 + 1 = 2. Today, there are those that seek to overturn the idea that there are absolutes. Their notion is, if it is something that they don't like, they will simply change it. It's just that simple. 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. A family is not only a male and female and children. A marriage does not always have to be between a man and a woman. Today, with these few examples out of hundreds, we can see how we have gotten so screwed up in our thinking. We don't know what is what, and as a result, we begin to doubt everything and come up with the excuse that things are left up to the interpretation of the particular individual or group. However, consider this. If a person is having trouble understanding what another person meant by something that they said or wrote, who better to clarify it than the one that made the statement or wrote it? Have any of you ever played the game Post Office? Do you remember how one person would start off by whispering something into someone's ear? then that person would whisper the same thing into another person's ear, and the same thing would continue until all of the people had heard the message. In practically every instance, when asked what the message was, when the last person was asked, when it got to the last person, and the last person was asked to repeat the message of what they heard, and come to find out it bared very little resemblance to the actual message the first person gave. How do you know that? Because when asked, the first person would repeat what they said. The Bible is God's message to us in written form, and it is there for all of us to see. Yet, there are those of us, and that includes some Christians, that rely on someone else to give us the message rather than us going to the source and getting it straight from the horse's mouth, if you will, by way of the Holy Spirit. Second-hand and third-hand messages may be a little erroneous at best, or totally disastrous at worst. In seeking the truth of God's Word, we need assistance. Though God has given us men and women to aid us in that task, the ultimate teacher is God Himself through the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, men sometimes have an agenda which will guide them to either not speak on specific issues because they will reveal their shortcomings, or they will twist the truth for personal gain and aggrandizement. This is why I encourage everyone to pick up a Bible and read it for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, who is it you trying to approve by studying? You're not doing it to try to show yourself, get my approval of it. You're doing it to get God's approval. That's who you ought to be trying to, whose approval you need to look at. You don't change your ways because man tells you that something isn't right or wrong according to the way you think, because they don't believe that. They want you to change to see things the way they do. No, what you're supposed to do is try to see things the way that God sees them, and you're only going to do that by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, back to the message. Does anyone have a problem understanding this scripture? It is self-explanatory. If you don't study, you will be walking around not sure of anything and challenging those that will tell you something that you have no idea what it means. God wants us all to understand His message to us, and the devil doesn't. So, who do you think is the one that is trying to make it hard for you to understand? Sure, there are things in the Bible that may seem difficult to understand, but if you research the scriptures and compare them with the ones that you do understand, you will begin to see the nature of God. Once you get to that point, all the rest of the Bible will come alive to you. Once that happens, you will not have to wonder whether or not your interpretation is correct. You will know it is. No one will be able to shake your faith again. Remember who the true source of persecution comes from. It is not a matter of interpretation. Well, that's the end of this message, and as I was saying earlier, that's where we are running into problems, because the enemy does not want the church unified. He doesn't want to see people getting saved. And if they do get saved, he's going to try to derail them to keep them from saying anything to anybody else, especially, you know, to friends and family and stuff, you know, and getting, wanting to get them saved. And then the sinner out on the street that you might come up to and try to witness to, and the person might say, well, you know, that's your interpretation, blah, 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 this, that, and other. Or you get down to another Christian that happens to be part of a different denomination in the church, where that's another thing that keeps the church from coming together, all these different denominations who all supposedly read out of the same Bible, hopefully. Now we got so many Bibles with all sorts of different interpretations where certain scriptures are being rewritten that mean nothing. Which, then, if you look at them, they bear no resemblance to what the actual scriptures were in the King James Version of the Bible, the original King James Version of the Bible. That's why we got the New King James, the Amplified, the New International Version, you name it. I forget how many interpretations of the, not interpretations, but translations of scriptures. You've got all these different translations, and people build their faith based on faulty interpretations of scripture when the translation in the Bible isn't correct, or sometimes they even eliminate certain passages of scripture from the Bible just to help reinforce their belief at the same time while trying to shake your belief. That's why I encourage everybody to get the original King James Version, and if you're going to read it and you can't understand it, get a what's known as a parallel Bible, which would have the King James Version, the original King James Version, and maybe the Living Bible, where the scriptures are side by side, where you can compare them. But see, the whole idea is you need to study, because like I say, when you're studying, that means you're seeking what is right and wrong according to what God says is right and wrong. And even if you're not seeking it and you're trying to find some case to argue a point, if you're the one that's wrong, God's going to reveal that to you while you're doing the searching, trying to find out why, something to argue at the other person about, which is what happened with me and my girlfriend, which later became my wife. Like I said, neither one of us were saved before we got together, but after a period of time, she started going back to church and got saved. I'm still out doing my thing, and she'd be trying to get me to get saved, and I'm telling her, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. I didn't know what the Bible was saying. But when it came down to the fact that I said, well, to be fair about it, I'm going to pick up a Bible and show her what's what. And when I did that, I wasn't looking to find something that was going to make me change. I was trying to get something to keep her from bugging me about the fact that I needed to change. And when I picked up the Bible, guess what? I changed. So that's all part of the idea of studying the Bible. So it's not left up to interpretation when you compare Scripture with Scripture and get to know God personally and have the Holy Spirit guiding you, as our subject Scripture says, the Spirit of Truth. You can't argue with the Spirit of Truth. He knows it all because He's the one that wrote it. Are you getting it? Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre once again closing out this message. And let me say, as I always do, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together next time for another message. Good day.